Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, 6 through 10, and we continue our sermon series, The Joy of Evangelism, through this second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We pick up our journey in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, as we consider the theme this morning, when God opens doors. And so please read along with me silently as I read God's word out loud. This is God's word. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let us pray. O Lord, illuminate the inspired word of God. We pray that you would teach your church as our prophet, that you would lead the church as our king, and that you would pardon and empower the church as our great high priest. May the ministry of your spirit be at work as your word is explained. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Have you ever wondered why cats hate closed doors? Many do. If you're a cat owner, you'll experience this. Some cats will sit at a door and just paw. Others will just stare at it. Still others will yowl at it. They might even rub up against it or rub up against you with the silent message, "Will you please open that door?" Why do cats hate closed doors? Maybe they smell something or hear something behind that door and they want to investigate. Maybe their human is behind that door, and they want their human. Maybe they consider the closed door their territory, and they want to patrol it. And maybe, just maybe, cats are just curious. Cats hate closed doors. Well, consider this. Why do humans hate closed doors? Why? You know, many people hate closed doors. Why? Why do we hate to be told no? Not yet. Not now. Not later. Not ever. Why? Why do the little ones hate to be told not in here? Or, well, not over there. Or, come to think of it, not anywhere. Why? Closed doors really hurt. Helen Keller says this: when one door of happiness closes, another opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one which has been opened up for us. Has it happened to you? Have you ever had a door slammed in your face? I mean, slammed hard, almost knocks you over. And the sound of that slamming door still rings in your ears. Well, that's because closed doors really hurt. But let me tell you this, for the Christian, for the person who is united by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, closed doors constitute cross-bearing for Jesus. Let me put it to you this way. When you endure a closed door with poise and grace, you are bearing your cross for Jesus. As my old Westminster prof, Dr. Richard Gaffin writes, suffering with Christ includes not only monumental and traumatic crises, martyrdom, and overt persecution, it is also to be a daily affair. The mundane frustrations and unspectacular difficulties of our everyday lives when they are endured for His sake. How many believers today recognize that the present work of the Spirit within the church and in their lives is of one piece with God's great work of restoring the entire creation? And so today, that brings us to our first point in our text, and it's simply this: closed doors. Closed doors. Please look with me in your Bibles to verses 6 through 8. I'll read it out loud again. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So the journey had begun, this second missionary journey had begun, and it had been in Derbe, Lystra, and Iconium. We discussed that last week. Well, today, our missionary team, led by the Apostle Paul, no less, heads west, and they head through the province of Galatia to the district of Phrygia, according to verse 6. Now, Paul and his team have a plan. They would like to continue west by southwest through the province of Asia Minor. Not Asia. Asia is to the east. Asia Minor was the name of what today is modern-day Turkey, and that province was called Asia, but it was Asia Minor, and that was west. Well, that was their plan. And you might ask, well, why was that their plan? Well, it's very simple. There was this really nice paved road. And paved roads are very nice. This was a stone road. It was built by the Romans, who were master architects and road builders. And this imperial road was called the Via Sebaste. And this paved, like stone road, would lead travelers from this region of Galatia and the area district of Phrygia west for 250 miles to the capital city of Asia Minor. And that city is Ephesus, a great place, we would learn later, to do evangelism. And so the team was thinking, let's go to Ephesus. It makes total sense. There's a really nice road patrolled by Roman troops to keep us safe from bandits. Let's go that way. Except for one thing. Something happened. Something closed the door. So verse 7 tells us, all right, we'll wander north. The western door was closed, so why not head north? So north it was. And they're heading north, and as they approach the district of Mysia, they consider continuing north into the province of Bithynia, and in Bithynia were prosperous cities dotting the shoreline of the Black Sea. Let's go to Bithynia. This northern region was ripe for evangelism. We see them mentioned in Peter's first letter as later a place where churches were planted and people were evangelized. Well, this was an unreached people group. There were many opportunities for evangelism. So if not west, north is best. Except for one thing. Something happened. Something closed that door. So again, in verse 8, we find out they then wander west. The northern door is now closed, so I guess west is best. We'd been saying that earlier. I guess it's still true. So they pass by the border of Mysia, and they arrive at the seaside city of Troas, right by the sea. Had they arrived? Was Troas their final destination for ministry? Well, that night, something happened. Something closed the door. And so this brings us to our first question this morning. Who is closing the door? Who keeps closing these doors? Well, Revelation 3:7 gives a very nice Christian answer to that question. Here it is. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. The Bible is very clear. God closes doors. Better yet, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, closes doors. Now in verse 6, our first verse, down south, it is God the Holy Spirit who closes the door. Look at verse 6 again. Do you see it? It says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. All right, so here, God the Holy Spirit closes the door because preaching is the jurisdiction of the Holy Spirit. Preaching is the jurisdiction of the Holy Spirit. You ask any good preacher who knows his God, who knows his Bible, and who knows the Holy Spirit will tell you that the Holy Spirit is the one who opens doors for preaching, and the Holy Spirit is the one who closes doors for preaching. In fact, it is the Holy Spirit who opens ears to preaching, and it is the Holy Spirit who closes ears to preaching. And we ministers have all had this amazing experience where we have seen God open the ears of people to a lousy sermon. And we have also seen God close ears to a lousy sermon, which is probably good. I remember a few I've heard, and I'm glad he closed my ears. But then we've also seen this strange phenomenon where the Holy Spirit closes ears to a good sermon. And then we've also seen this strange phenomenon where God opens ears to a good sermon at the same time. This is the jurisdiction of the Holy Spirit. That is why Westminster Shorter Catechism question number 89 says this. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. And so we must all recognize this. If good preaching is present or active, if good listening is present or active, if the sermon is powerful or pitiful, it all depends upon the Holy Spirit. And in this instance, the Holy Spirit closes the door. Closes the door. But not only that, God the Son closes doors as well. Look at verse 7. It says they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now here in this instance, Paul is visited by the resurrected Jesus, the glorified Jesus, the exalted Jesus. And Jesus, of course, empowered by the Holy Spirit, having been raised by the power of the Holy Spirit, now saturated by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, such that in the Bible, sometimes the post-resurrected Jesus is called the Spirit of Jesus. Well, Jesus actually appears miraculously to Paul and closes a door. So why does Jesus appear? Well, I wonder if Paul needed the glorified Jesus in order to accept no number two. Makes sense? I mean, no number one, no number two. We all hit our limit where the no's get pretty tough. Well, it's hard to say. Our text doesn't say why. But either way, the Bible makes this one truth very clear, that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit closes doors. God does it. And so you and I need to let that thought grip our soul every time God closes a door. Confidently tell yourself, God did it. God did it. Not you, not your neighbor, not some powers and principalities in this world. They were secondary causes, but God closed the door. Your God, God the Father, Son, and Spirit, who created you and has loved you and knit you together in your mother's womb and then has converted you and filled you with his Spirit. Yes, that God closes doors. All right, so how does God close doors? That's our next point. And in this instance, how does God close Paul's doors? The text in verse 6 and 7 doesn't say. We don't know in verse 6 and 7 how God closed the door, the actual way it was done. Makes you wonder, did the Spirit give Paul an inner feeling? All right, sometimes we have those feelings and they should be listened to. There is that peace that passes understanding that keeps your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Did the Spirit give Paul a feeling? Did the Spirit send a difficult circumstance? A forest fire, a flood, bandits roaming the road, Roman soldiers elsewhere in the region not guarding? I don't know. Did the Spirit warn Paul through a person that he met at the local coffee shop? Hey, you don't want to go the Via this week. There's potholes that rival Detroit, and you don't want to go. Did the Spirit provide some kind of knowledge to Paul? Either natural knowledge that he had. Maybe he read the signs of the season and it didn't look well. Maybe there was a word of knowledge from the prophet who was with him by the name of Silas, who was a prophet in the church. Was there a natural or preternatural form of knowledge? Our text does not say. But it infers that God used Paul's circumstances, experiences, feelings, and thought process to close various doors. And Paul, with confidence, could attribute it to God. You know, I believe God guides our lives today in our union with Jesus no less than he guided Paul and his travel plans. Paul is forever sharing his travel plans in his letters because he is convinced God guides travel plans. Last month, Lynn and I traveled in February. Wow, the worst travel month of our lives. It is no lie, Lynn and I sat in our plane on the tarmac for 5 hours. Now, it wasn't a summer sunny hot day, but just let me urge you, when you get on the airport, get in the plane, make sure you fill up a water bottle really full and bring some snacks, because when you're seated out on the tarmac, nobody can serve you. They all have to be belted in, so be prepared. But travel plans, think about it. If you're a person who travels, think about all the times your flight was canceled. They lost your luggage. They delayed your connection. They messed up your reservation. They got you motion sick. With confidence, you can say, God allowed that. And as God allowed that, God closed doors along the way. So it is in life. He did it in Paul's travel plans. He does it in our journey through life. And what should you do when God closes the door? It's very simple. You persevere. That is what the Bible teaches. You persevere. You never give up. You never give in. You never back down. If you fall down 7 times, you get up 8. No matter how you feel, get up, dress up, and show up. That's what you do. I love how Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 17, 1 puts it. It says, "They whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved." You keep going. When God closes a door, persevere is what you are called to do. And we see Paul doing this. First, he tried Asia Minor. Nope. So then he tried Bithynia. Nope. Then he passed by Mysia, went down to Troas. Nope. Then he leaves, we'll learn later in this sermon, to Macedonia. He tries and he tries and he tries again. Paul perseveres. And in this process, in fact, through this process, in fact, almost the consequence, the divine consequence of this process is our second and final point. God will open a door. That is what your loving, providential God always does. God opens doors. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." Well, you've heard that saying, nothing travels faster than bad news. Well, in a sense, it was happening here. Bad news everywhere. It was traveling fast. Think about it. From the bottom southwest of Asia Minor to the top northwest of Asia Minor, the entire diagonal travel through that region, door after door was slamming, closing, closing, closing. God's guidance for that entire leg of this journey had been all negative. But after persevering, God gives a first positive lead. And it happens at the seaside city of Troas, on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. Paul has a dream or a vision at night. And in this dream or vision, a man is begging him to cross the channel, to cross the sea, and help them over in Macedonia. And he says, "Help us, help us." Nothing rattles a person like someone shouting, "Help! Help!" You may be weary. You may be tired. You may have had life slam doors in your face again and again and again. But when God arouses someone around you to say, "Help, Dad. Help, Mom. Help, sis, help, brother, help somebody, neighbor, help me." It just does something to you. Nothing rattles a person like hearing someone cry for help. It wakes you for action. And so from this vision, this plea for help, this cry, this begging for help, Paul concludes that God has finally opened a door. And dear church, the door is huge. The door is big. If Paul really fully understood what it was, would he dare to go where angels fear to tread? The door was Europe. Go evangelize Europe. Pauline scholar Richard Longnecker says this. He says, authentic turning points in human history are truly few. But surely among them, that of the Macedonian vision ranks high. Whether Columbus discovering a new world, whether sending a man to the moon, or whether the Macedonian vision. You see, Europe centuries later would become the center of world missions. In church history, the work that launched from the continent of Europe would dwarf the work of Paul until recently, this past century. And it's shocking, it's amazing. As door after door was shutting, Paul did not know about an open, large door for ministry. He simply heard a cry for help. And he walks through the door. Now it helps here, and perhaps this was one other convincing providence that moved Paul across the water. More help has arrived. Did you catch that in verse 10? Dr. Luke has joined the missionary team in Troas. This verse is what scholars call the we passages. Look at your Bible in verse 8. Look at the pronoun there in verse 8. It says, they. They went here. They went there. They went there. Now in verse 10, what's the pronoun that is being used? We. What that means is the author, the writer, the composer of the book of Acts, Luke, has joined them. The team is now bigger. A man cries for help. God provides another helper, and he's a doctor. One reason I've enjoyed mission teams over the years is I often have a nurse. Oh, there's nothing like a good nurse on a missionary project. Oh, they're great. Well, he was a doctor, and doctors come in handy. He was also a learned writer and could keep track of what all was going on. He was also very humble. It's amazing what can be done when no one cares who gets the credit. You would hardly know that Luke joined them, would you, unless I told you. He quietly announces his presence by saying, we. That's Luke. And then later you'll see Luke to be a loyal, persevering partner to the Apostle Paul. And so this is yet another reason. With confidence, Paul plunges across the channel. So let me ask you this question. How does God open doors today? In our lives, very simple, here it is. By special revelation, by prayer, by human reason, and by circumstances. Now we see this in the book of Acts. Prior to the New Testament canon, there was no nice leather-bound version of your preference, New Testament canon, where you could look and receive guidance from the Lord Jesus Christ through his apostles and the Holy Spirit. In those days, God was specially revealing himself through signs and wonders and dreams and visions and miracles and apostolic sermons. And from those acts of special revelation, the people still had to draw a conclusion. What do I do? In light of what God has said, what do I do? When Agabus takes his hands and wraps a belt around it and says to Paul, you are going to Jerusalem and this is going to happen to you. And Paul had a decision to make. Do I go or not? Every time you hear a sermon, which is God's special revelation, you have to make a decision. What will you do? And not only that, Paul had to look at the circumstances. The Great Commission said, go and make disciples of all the nations. So he tried one, but the circumstances didn't work. So he tried another, and the circumstances didn't work. You look at your circumstances. Thirdly, we see that you lay out a strategy, some kind of plan. You work, plan your work and then work your plan. There was a strategy that missiologists have studied in the book of Acts for centuries. What was the method to Paul's mission? And then you bathe it in fasting and prayer, which was what happened in the church in Antioch prior to launching the first missionary journey. You pray, you fast, you seek power and guidance from God. And then the final thing is walk by faith. And then what happens as you do these things, as you seek God's special revelation, as you look at circumstances, as you think about your response, as you make your plan, as you pray and fast, and then you walk forward in faith, guess what happens? God closes doors. And then you do it again. And again, and again, and again. That's the life of faith. You know, today, Orthodox Presbyterians everywhere affirm God's open doors every time we sing hymn 600. Look at the words. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, whate'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. So I close with this question. Is God leading you? Yes, he's leading you. That is what the Bible irrefutably declares. God is leading you. God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit opens doors and closes doors. The question is, do you walk by faith through the open door? Are you trusting Jesus through the open door? Are you using the means of grace, the word, the sacraments of prayer, as you walk through his open doors? But even more challenging and even more painful, are you walking with contentment by closed doors? There it is. You just stop and stare. Look at it. Meditate on it. Play the game, what if? Get bitter. Find somebody to blame. Stare at it. Get nice and mad about it. Call a couple of your friends over here. Let's look at the door. Look at it. Just look at it. It was open just a minute ago, an hour ago. I saw others walking through it. Look at that door. Or do you say, that's a gift? God speaking to you. Every time we walk by a closed door with poise and grace, we are bearing a cross for Christ. And so every time this week you have to walk by a closed door, are you willing to thank God for his wisdom? Are you willing to give to God your unbearable pain? Knowing 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Because, dear church, anytime God closes one door, he always opens another. And let all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your providence in the circumstances of our lives. We thank you for the people you've placed around us, good and bad, righteous and evil, weak and powerful, We thank you, O Lord, for all circumstances which are in your hand, and we plead with you in public prayer that you would guide your people, guide your church, guide the families, the singles, the old and the young in your church, that we may bear the cross of Jesus with poise and grace, and that we may rejoice as you show your people the way of salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name, and let us all say, Amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.